Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, I'd like to begin by thanking everyone who prayed for us and who wrote letters to the inmates in prison while we were visiting there. We know we had 701 names on the prayer vigil. And I know that that meant a lot to these men. And I know that the letters meant a lot to them as well. One in particular I kind of wanted to mention. It seems every year there's like one thing that we hear the most about. And this year it was pictures from the kids. I know there was one of the churches that was involved with us, their Sunday school. All the kids just drew lots and lots of pictures for the residents. And there was one of them, one of the men had made some comments about how when he got there, he thought we were trying to scam him out of something. He didn't really trust us. He wasn't sure if we were telling the truth, and he thought maybe we were trying to get something from him. But when Saturday came and he was looking through his packet of letters, there was a drawing of a bunny done by a little six-year-old girl someplace. It was this picture of a bunny, and it said on it, "Jesus loves you and so do I." And he decided then that a six-year-old girl is not going to lie to him. So after that, he was able to pay attention to what we were saying. I also wanted to talk about, I always tell this, and it always happens. The biggest, scariest guy on Sunday we have like our graduation ceremony where everybody gets up and says something about what the weekend meant to them. The biggest, scariest guy is always also the biggest crybaby. And this gentleman got up and he was crying. He said he had been incarcerated now for 21 years. And on the day he went into the prison, his family abandoned him. His parents, his wife, and his children. He has not heard from anyone in 21 years. And as soon as he got into the prison, he realized that he didn't think he could trust anyone. So he has never made any friends. But he was saying now, after this period of time, he now has a bigger family than he ever thought he would have. And I don't know how much longer he's going to be in there, but he says he's going to be able to make it now. There are things that I learned in there. Sometimes things I want to forget. But there are important lessons I learned. I think the first lesson I learned this time was that it's a bad idea to throw a chair at the parole board. One of the men I was talking to had said that the first time he was in prison, the first time he came up to parole, he had taken all the classes he needed to take. He had all the counseling he needed to take to make parole. And his parole time was coming up. He had all of his paperwork done and everything. And he got there and into the room where the parole board met. And he had all of his stuff and he was ready to present his case. And someone from the head of the parole board said, "Well, we are running out of time today. Your parole is denied." Without listening to a word from him. So he picked up his chair, threw it at them, and he spent the next 6.5 years in solitary confinement. So don't throw chairs at the parole board. Important life lesson. But there was a big thing that I learned. A big thing I learned about forgiveness. Now, a wise old preacher once told me that the best sermons he ever gives are the ones he's giving to himself. And I gotta agree, I seem to feel that way too. Maybe it's because those are the ones I'm really paying attention to. Another preacher I heard talking once said that it is best if we preach when we have issues. Like most preachers, however, I don't have issues. I have a subscription. But I was talking with a young man in the prison who, he was a Christian. I mean, this program is not just for people who are seeking, but for people who are seeking a community a lot of times. He was a Christian, and he's been in for a while, and he and I were talking about things that were going on in the prison and who his friends were. And he said to me that I've got a plan for when I get out. I want to get involved in some kind of ministry that is directed specifically toward preaching the gospel message. A message of grace, forgiveness, repentance, and love to sexual predators. And the first thought that crossed my mind was, no way I'm touching that. But as I thought about it, it really weighed on me. The fact that God's forgiveness is for everyone. Even though we ourselves may look at some people, and if it was up to us, we might deny it to them. I mean, I'm not specifically saying that I would deny it to them, but there are certain people we seem to think are harder to forgive than others. I'll never forget a couple years ago when on Friday night we have this little Thanksgiving service where we're all sitting in the chapel, eyes closed, head bowed, and people give out a word of thanksgiving. And then after we're done with that, we ask for forgiveness for something. If there's something somebody wants to ask forgiveness for, then they ask for forgiveness. And if you were to do that in a normal church, well, this being the season of Thanksgiving, let's ask, is there anything in particular anyone would be thankful for? If we were doing this with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, what are some things you would ask forgiveness for? You might ask forgiveness for ignoring somebody, ignoring a family member, maybe stealing something, I don't know, selfishness. One man spoke up and he said, forgive me for murder. Well, I guess that's understandable in a prison, but to tell you the truth, sometimes by Friday evening I've forgotten that that's where I was. And that set me back a little bit. That's one of those things I think I can see forgiving someone for. I know my friend Pastor Tom, when his son was killed a few years ago by a drunk driver, it took him a while to reach a point of forgiveness, but he was able to forgive the young man who killed his son. You know, you hear stories about that kind of thing all the time. But I can't help but think, I mean, I'd like to be able to think that I can forgive somebody for anything they've done to me. And so far in my life, I think I've managed to do that. I mean, as is the case with me, to be very honest with all of you, I have probably done more horrible things to people than they have done to me. I hope I'm the only one in the room that can say that. But I've probably done worse things to some people than anyone has done to me. But if someone were to do something to my wife and daughter, I don't know how easy that would be to forgive. Well, it wouldn't be easy. But to be honest with you, I don't know if I could. I hope I never find out. John 3:16 and 17 say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Everyone is included in that, whether we like it or not. Everyone. I remember years ago, I like watching superhero movies. I remember years ago getting really angry at the end of Spider-Man 2. I hope I'm not spoiling this for anybody who's planning to go see it soon and hasn't seen it yet. But it's an older movie. The villain is Dr. Octopus. He's this guy with a whole bunch of robot arms. And he's running around robbing banks and kidnapping people and blowing things up and whatnot. And he built this machine to generate energy. And I think his goal at the end of the movie was to blow up the city. But then near the end of the movie, he realizes, once he started the machine, he realizes that he's doing a bad thing. And he ends up at the end of the movie, he dies the hero, stopping the machine that he created. So there's this big scene at the end of him being redeemed, his redemption. And I remember feeling kind of ripped off, because I'm one of those people that for some reason, watching a movie, I like to see the bad guys get their comeuppance. But to tell you the truth, I got a lot of up-and-sing coming at me, if that was the way it is. But I've experienced God's grace, and I've experienced God's forgiveness. Why does it bother me that somebody else is receiving that too? It's really made me think. It's really made me wonder. I hope I have grown through this experience. I understand a little better the fact that God is there for everyone. I mean, I've said it before, but to be honest, I think there are sometimes those around us who do certain things, we may not be ready to forgive. I know there was someone I was talking to not long ago. I was explaining this prison ministry to someone, and their whole opinion of it was, and this was a Christian woman who said this to me. She said, "Do you think those people deserve to be forgiven? Do you think those people deserve to be forgiven?" And my answer to her was, "Do you?" She said, "No, I don't." I said, "I wasn't asking if you think they deserve to be forgiven. I was asking, do you think you deserve to be forgiven?" She didn't answer me. It's hard for us to understand sometimes. I know one of the big no-nos I did a couple years ago, at the end of the weekend, you know, we spend time getting to know these guys, and for the most part, we never ask anybody what they did. If they want to tell us, that's up to them. Hardly anybody ever does. But I remember there was one guy, I think it was the second time I'd gone through, he was just the nicest guy. And I couldn't figure out for the life of me what he was doing in prison. It just didn't make any sense. I couldn't figure it out. Well, anybody who's in prison, it's public information why they're there. I made the mistake of going on the internet and looking him up. And I found out that he was a child molester. And it broke my heart. And I almost quit the prison ministry then and there. Because to be honest, I didn't want to know that. And it's one of those things I'm never going to be able to forget. But he deserves forgiveness. He seeks it. You know, having a child of my own, I understand, you know, that's a bad thing. I mean, I'm having a hard time. There's a few, like, cop shows on TV we used to watch regularly, but some of the things just hit, some of the crimes I'm seeing on these shows are just hitting too close to home for me to comfortably watch them anymore. I know anytime one of these, you know, before we had Ruby, I could watch these things, and they didn't bother me. But as soon as I'd see one of these shows, if there was a kid involved in something, it had to get turned off. Because they would make me weep. They would really frighten me now. But God offers his forgiveness to all, whether we like it or not. There's a lot of people in the world who should be thankful that I'm not in charge of handing out the grace. Because I think for a while there might have been some people that didn't, or wouldn't have gotten it. I hope they would now. I hope I can be more forgiving. I hope I can be more understanding. I hope I can reach out better to some people. And that's what I learned in prison this time. It's always a marvelous growing lesson for me. Amen.
You can live in your sanctuary. Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put it at the end so we don't miss what came in front of it. And the good and final word for us today is forgiveness. We need to remember that no matter who it is we're talking about, we don't have a right to deny someone forgiveness. God has forgiven us. We need to do the same. Even as we spoke the Lord's Prayer this afternoon, we ask God to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In saying so, do we ourselves deny ourselves forgiveness because we are unwilling to forgive someone? Something for us to think about this week. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place, blessed and forgiven. Amen.